time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back into another episode of Mitten Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I am your host, Dajon Hughes, and we are getting ready to talk about an entire hour's worth of sports going down in the Mitten. Yeah, you heard that right. An hour long talking everything that's got to do with Michigan and sports. So hopefully you had a fantastic weekend last weekend because there was tons of sports going on, a lot of good things happening in the state of Michigan. As always, we'll start off talking about our Michigan State Spartans, our Michigan Wolverines, and what they have going on the hardwood, especially as we get into the month of March and what that means for college basketball. March Madness is almost here, and that's one of the most exciting times of the year. Both of these teams are expected to make somewhat of a run in not only the Big Ten Conference Tournament, but also the NCAA Tournament, so we'll be talking a ton about what we expect to see from them as this weekend closes out the regular season, into the Big Ten Tournament, into the March Madness NCAA Tournament, and then we'll turn our attention over to Little Caesars Arena. We'll touch in with our Detroit Pistons some more, and what happened with them over the last week, because it was quite rough, and there's a lot to talk about and dive into with the Pistons, although they are still looking quite great. And then, of course, we'll touch in on the Red Wings as well, who share Little Caesars Arena with the Pistons. They lay down the ice, and they handle business. They're still looking good as well, but also some not so great things to talk about when it comes to the Red Wings as well. And then we'll get into our picks at the end of the show. Like always, I'm doing fantastic this week. Have a ton of new things going on here at the station that I've been handling. So that's been amazing. High school playoff basketball has been phenomenal. I saw amazing games this weekend, between East Lansing and Lloyd Norris, East Lansing, Kalamazoo Central and Jackson. And those two teams of Kalamazoo Central and East Lansing against each other. I'm excited for the MHSAA playoffs, or not playoffs, the championship games, which are coming up next Saturday at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. And then lacrosse starts on Monday. So I am pumped to get back into the high school ranks of lacrosse and get back coaching my squad and see what kind of season we can have this year. Also, the professional league has their champ series going on, so I've been super pumped and thrilled into that while also getting to watch college lacrosse and indoor pro lacrosse. It's been a dream for me over the last week because there is nothing but sports to watch, which is my favorite time of the year. Now that we've gotten through all of the obligatories, I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend and are ready to dive into a bunch of sport talk. We're going to start with the team up in East Lansing playing out of the Breslin Center. It's the Michigan State Spartans. They are 25-5 on the year. They are led by Jeremy Fears, who's 15.3 points per game, 9.1 assists, 1.3 steals, 2.2 turnovers, shooting 44.6% from the field, all in 32 minutes of play. Jackson Kohler grabs 9.1 rebounds per game, and Carson Cooper has one block, 0.6 steals, and 7.2 rebounds. As a team, they score 78.7 points per game, which is tied for 131st. They grab 40.3 rebounds, tied for 31st. They have 18.4 assists, tied for 21st, and they only give up 67 points a game. The last couple of days, they were coming off of a game against Indiana, and then they went on to play Rutgers. Both of those teams are unranked at the moment. They escape the Assembly Hall down in Bloomington, Indiana, with a 13-point victory, 77-64. Jackson Kohler, the man of the day, 21 points on 7-of-12 shooting, 4-for-4 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds and 6 assists. This game happened, I believe that is Monday or Tuesday. Let me Take a look at this. That was Sunday that this game against Indiana went down. That was March 1st. Michigan State also had 9 assists from Jeremy Fears, 3 turnovers in 37 minutes of play. They shot 49% from the field, 50 from behind the arc, 79% from the free throw line, only 9 turnovers, 35 rebounds. They led for 99% of the game, and their largest lead was 13. Indiana, on the other hand, was led by what is Lamar Wilkerson. He had 29 points. Tucker DeVries grabbed 6 boards, and Sam Alexis had 3 assists, only 1 turnover in 31 minutes of play. They shot 39% from the field, 77% from the charity stripe, 29% from deep, 7 turnovers, 27 rebounds, and they did not lead at all in this game. They fall to 8-10 in the Big Ten, 17-12 on the year. Michigan State picks up another win, and obviously, they can't win the Big Ten regular season tournament, but they are regular season title. But they do like where they are coming, how they are peaking at the right time of the year, looking to make runs in both the Big Ten tournament and the NCAA tournament. So their next game was a little bit tougher, but one that they were looking forward to because it was senior night at Breslin Center for a group of them. And they come out with a 91-87 4-point victory over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights, which was very similar to the game they had against them earlier in the year. They ended up beating Rutgers in overtime in New Jersey. So this time they came to Michigan and they handled business. Rutgers was led by none other than Tariq Francis, 25 points on 8 of 17 shooting, 5 for 5 from the free throw line. He had 5 assists, no turnovers, and 31 minutes of play. Emmanuel Ogboli had 6 rebounds. Rutgers shoots 48, 56, 79 in their splits. 8 turnovers, 21 rebounds, 33%. They led for 33% of the game. Their largest lead was only 4. Meanwhile, on the other side, the Spartans, who narrowly escaped with a victory here, have Cohen Carr going 21.6 of 9 from the field, 8 of 8 from the free throw line. Cam Ward grabbed 9 rebounds. Jeremy Fears Jr. does what Jeremy Fears Jr. does. 8 assists. Only 3 turnovers, 28 minutes of play. Their shooting splits were 58, 33, and 83% from those different marks. 15 turnovers, 38 rebounds, led for 63% of the game. Their largest lead was 19. So they pick up huge victories for them. We'll talk a little bit more about the one important game that they have coming up over the next couple of days. That's going to be on Sunday. But before we get to that, because it does involve the other team we'll talk about, the Michigan Wolverines. We're going to talk about them right now. They did lose a game not too long ago by 5 points to Duke. Ever since then, they've been back being that team that they are. They did play one game this week. That game was against Iowa, and it was a close game Thursday night. Michigan was led by Yaxel Landenborg, 16 points on 4 of 6 shooting, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. He grabbed 8 boards. Elliot Cadeau, 9 assists, only 4 turnovers in 30 minutes of play. The splits for Michigan, 53, 50, and 77. They had 18 turnovers, which is something they're going to have to fix moving forward if they want to continue to make a run. But without backup point guard LJ Kaysen, who did tear his ACL against Illinois in their game last weekend, that's huge. That's something that, you know, Michigan has to take into account when they're moving forward. They now have different rotations. Elliot Cadeau playing many more minutes than he had in the past, and they have to figure out a way to limit the turnovers with the new squad that they have. They did grab 38 rebounds, led for 63% of this game. Their largest lead was 10. Iowa, on the other hand, was led by Bennett Sturts. Sturts had 21 points, 7 of 23 from the field, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. He also grabbed 4 assists, had 1 turnover in 40 minutes of play. And Cam Manyao grabbed 8 rebounds. Iowa shot 39, 27, 92 for their splits, 5 turnovers, which they did a phenomenal job of taking care of the ball. They grabbed 25 rebounds, led for 30% of this game. The largest lead for them was 6. This was at Carver Hawkeye Arena in Iowa City. And as I mentioned, Michigan escapes with a 3-point victory and becomes the first team since Indiana 50 years ago who went undefeated on the road. Michigan does so in Big Ten play as well, undefeated on the road. They have 2 losses this year. One happened at the Chrysler Center. The other was on a neutral site in D.C. They have done a phenomenal job of playing a on the road and winning games on the road, which you have to be able to do if you want to win any type of tournament. So they're in great shape. Coming up this weekend, Sunday, tomorrow, Michigan plays Michigan State. Michigan State is going to travel to Ann Arbor this time. They're 15-4 Big Ten record going against 18-1 Big Ten record for Michigan. This game will be on CBS at 4:30. They're giving the Spartans a 17.3% chance to win. Michigan gets an 82.7%. And I'm not going to talk a lot about this game because we will get into that later on in the show when that comes up during our picks. But I am going to take a quick look at the Big Ten tournament for 2026 and see if we can take a peek at what those matchups are going to be. It's kind of hard because, you know, teams haven't quite figured out exactly where they're going to land. So the bracket hasn't quite been filled out yet, but I can imagine that Michigan and Michigan State feel great as 1 and 2 seeds for where they will land in the tournament and how that will look for them. We do have updated seeds as of now and what that bracket will look like. So as of now, Maryland will play Oregon, Penn State, Northwestern. And the first games for Michigan and Michigan State will be winner of game 7 on Friday, the March 13th for Michigan. Michigan State will play the winner of game 9 on Friday, March 13th as well. Those games are, UCLA and the winner of game 5, which that is Indiana and the winner of Penn State and Northwestern. And then Michigan State, well, that's Michigan State's game, Game 7, Ohio State and the winner of game 3, which would be Iowa and the winner of Maryland and Oregon, will play Michigan in that quarterfinal. So both these teams will really only have to play a handful of games if they're going to move on. If they're going to move on and win the Big Ten tournament, they would only have to win 3 games. The quarterfinal, the semifinal, and then the Big Ten championship game before they move into the NCAA tournament. And looking at that, I'm going to take a look at seeding and where teams fall for that. I believe as of right now, the most projected seeding has Michigan as a 1 seed along with Duke, Arizona, and UConn. 2 seeds are Florida, Houston, Illinois, and Michigan State. Purdue and Nebraska grab 3 seeds as well. Wisconsin grabs a 7 seed. Iowa grabs an 8 seed. UCLA grabs a 9 seed. They also maybe have UCLA as an 11 seed. There's a couple different places that these teams could end up falling, but it looks like Big Ten and Michigan, Michigan State, et cetera, are going to get a lot of teams into the tournament, which will be interesting to see. But Michigan and Michigan State will favor well in both of those tournaments as they look to move forward. I'm so excited for Sunday, which I don't want to talk a ton about right now, as I mentioned, because I'll be getting into that for our picks. But that is always a fun game to watch at the end of the year because Michigan / Michigan State always ends with the rival in rivalry week, which rivalry week in basketball is back. We get that twice in basketball, and I love that. It's back again. Michigan and Michigan State are going at it in the Chrysler Center, and it's a chance for Michigan State to get back at Michigan for, you know, coming in and ruining Izzo's birthday. And now they can come in and ruin senior night if they would like. But that's all we have for Michigan and Michigan State for now. We'll touch in with them again in the picks. For now, we're going to talk about our Pistons when we come back for break here on Mid-Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Nearly 2,000 of the state's top student athletes will be recognized for excelling academically and in school activities through the MHSAA's Scholar Athlete Award, underwritten by Farm Bureau Insurance. The applicants will be in the running for a total of 32 $2,000 college scholarships. Application materials are available exclusively online through the MHSAA website. A message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association, promoting the value and values of educational athletics.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to move inside of Little Caesars Arena and to begin to talk about those professional teams that we have inside of the state of Michigan. The next two teams we'll talk about share the same home in Little Caesars Arena. First, we'll lay down the hardwood and talk about our Detroit Pistons. We'll start with some sad news first. The Pistons lose Asar Thompson to an ankle sprain in their loss to the Spurs in their most recent game. And now that we know exactly what's going on with the Spurs and how they are dominating the Pistons and how the Pistons lost that last game because Asar Thompson couldn't finish, we'll get into the exciting things. Let's talk about the standings first, as the Pistons have lost some traction in the entire NBA. They are no longer the leaders of the entire league. They are now 2.5 games behind the Thunder, who are 49-15. Your Pistons are 45-16. Although they are 45-16 and no longer at the top of the entire NBA, they are still atop of the Eastern Conference. They are 4.5 games above the Celtics, who are 41-21. 40-23, 6 games behind the Pistons are the New York Knicks. Here come the Cavs, 39-24, 7 games back. The Raptors, 35-27, are 10.5 games back. And 11.5 games back, cleaning up the 6th spot, are the 76ers at 34-28. Those are your playoff teams and top 6 in the East. The Orlando Magic are 33-28, 12 games back. Also 12 games back are the Miami Heat, who are 34-29. Both sitting 14 games back of the Pistons are the Charlotte Hornets, who are 32-21, and so are 32-31, along with the Hawks matching that same record. That is your 7-10, who are your play-in squads. Out west, Thunder obviously at the top, 3 games behind them at 45-17 are the Spurs. The Timberwolves are 8.5 games back at 40-23. 9.5 games back are both the Rockets and the Nuggets, who are 38-23, 39-24 respectively. And cleaning up that 6th place spot, 11 games behind the Thunder, are the Los Angeles Lakers at 37-25. Those are your top 6 playoff teams out west. 35-27, 13 games back are the Suns. 16 games back are the Warriors at 32-30. 17.5 games behind are the LA Clippers at 30-31. And 30-33, 18.5 games back are the Portland Trailblazers. Those are your 7-10 in the Western Conference. And they are currently your play-in teams. The Pistons, although they are starting to slack, they still have great numbers for the year so far, led by none other than MVP candidate Cade Cunningham. Cunningham on the season averages 25.2 points per game, 9.8 assists, with just 3.8 turnovers, shooting 45.5% from the field in 35 minutes of play. Jalen Duren has 28 minutes of play, he has 18.4 points, shooting 63.1% from the field, and grabs 10.7 rebounds. Asar Thompson, who did just get hurt, had 1.9 steals per game, 1.4 turnovers in just over 25 minutes of play. And then you have Isaiah Stewart, 1.7 blocks, 0.3 steals, and 5.1 rebounds. They do average 117 points per game, 46.2 rebounds, and 26.6 assists as a team. The last time we talked, they were preparing to play the Magic in a game that went down on Sunday at the Kia Center in Orlando, Florida. The Pistons did win this game by 14. Cunningham does what Cunningham does. 29 points on 11-25 shooting, 5-for-6 from the free throw line, 11 assists, only 5 turnovers, and 37 minutes of play. Asar Thompson grabs 11 rebounds.
Pistons shoot 45, 13, 75 in their splits. 14 turnovers, 56 rebounds, 37% is the amount that they led this game, and their largest lead was 14. Meanwhile, for the Magic, who also had a great game, Paolo Banchero, 24 points, 5 of 10 from the field, 13 of 16 from the free throw line. He also grabbed 11 boards for a double-double. Desmond Bane at 7 assists, 2 turnovers, and 38 minutes of play. They shot 38-28, 80% as a team in their splits. They had 19 turnovers, only grabbed 41 rebounds, but they did lead for 58% of this game. And their largest lead was only 9 as they look to not only stay atop of the Southeast division in the Eastern Conference, but continue to make waves to push their way up in the conference and hopefully become a playoff team that is not a play-in team. But after the Pistons grabbed that win, things got a little bit tougher for them throughout the week. They went on to play the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road and without Donovan Mitchell. So one would think the Pistons didn't have a problem, right? Well, instead, they allowed the Cavs to tie up the series 2-2. They were led by Jalen Duren, 24 points, 14 rebounds, shooting 7-9 for the field, 10 of 14 from the free throw line. Cunningham at 14 assists, 5 turnovers, and 39 minutes of play. Pistons shoot 51, 38, 76 in their splits. 14 turnovers, 44 rebounds, only led for 4% of this game, and their largest lead was just 4 inside of Rocket Arena in Cleveland. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers were led by Jalen Tyson, 22 points. Craig Porter grabs 8 rebounds. Tyson shoots 8 for 15 from the field, 1 for 3 from the free throw line. James Harden, 7 assists, 5 turnovers, 35 minutes of play. The Cavaliers shoot 44, 37, 77 in their splits, only 10 turnovers, 38 rebounds. Led for 90% of the game, their largest lead being 11. They escaped with a 4-point victory over the Pistons, 113-109, as they continue to make pace not only on the Pistons in the Central Division, but they continue to make their way up the Eastern Conference standings. These two teams are the favorites to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals at the moment. So we'll see how that plays out over the next month or so. And then things got a little bit trickier again for the Pistons. They went on to play the Spurs on the road, and they lost this game 106-121, which means the Spurs dominated the season series against the Pistons, winning it 2-0, 114-103, and 121-106. Cunningham paces the Pistons, 26 points on 10 of 26 shooting, 2 for 2 from the field, 8 assists, 4 turnovers, and 39 minutes of play. Jalen Duren grabs 7 rebounds. Pistons shoot 40, 43, and 80 in the splits. 10 turnovers, 44 rebounds. They did not lead at all inside of Frost Bank Center in San Antonio, Texas. But the Spurs had a much different outcome. They were led by none other than the alien that is Victor Wembanyama. He goes 12 of 24 from the field, 10 of 11 from the free throw line, 38 points, grabs 16 boards as well for the double-double. And then Stephon Castle had 12 assists, 2 turnovers, and 35 minutes of play. San Antonio shoots 50%, 35%, 80% in their splits, only turned it over 9 times, had 46 rebounds, and led for 99% of the game. Their largest lead in this game was 22. There was never a concern for them in this game and going on to win it or being in control whatsoever. So they have to feel good moving forward, and they have to feel great if the Pistons are the team to come out of the East and they're to come out of the West. Who says that San Antonio wouldn't win that series? It's hard for me to say that because of what we've seen in their two games against the Pistons. They have not only won those games, but they have dominated those games. So I cannot look away from that kind of output and say that the Spurs are technically a better team than the Pistons, even though they sit a half game behind them at 45-17, while the Pistons are 45-16. That's really only because they played one less game than the Spurs have. So we'll find out soon if the Spurs are a better team than the Pistons, other than when they just play each other on the court. So now that we've gotten through what has happened recently, let's talk about what the Pistons have coming up. Although they have struggled, they have an opportunity to get back in the right path and get moving once again. They have Brooklyn on Saturday, Miami on Sunday, and then Brooklyn again on Tuesday before playing Philadelphia on Thursday and Memphis on Friday. So 5 games in between tonight and next Friday, playing almost every day of the week. But three of those teams are not in the playoffs right now. One of them is in the play-in, and the three of those games. Two of those teams are not in the playoffs, Brooklyn and Memphis. And then you have Miami, who's in the play-in. And then you have Philadelphia, who's hanging on to that sixth seed spot to guarantee themselves a playoff seed. So in my opinion, the Pistons are moving into a space where they can win some games, right? They have three of these games at home. The first one against Brooklyn, and then against Philadelphia and Memphis. And then they're on the road for Miami and Brooklyn. But I think that they can go out and win three or four of these games, maybe only lose one. Who do I think they lose to? Maybe Miami, because that game is a back-to-back game for the Pistons. They play Saturday night, then they go on to play Miami Sunday night. So what does that mean? That means as soon as they finish playing against Brooklyn at home, they're going to be packing up and hitting the airport so they can head down to Miami. As of right now, they're giving Miami a 37.9% chance to win this game. They are without Norman Powell, which will be huge for them. So far, the series is tied 1-1. The Pistons won back on November 29th, 138-139. And then the Heat bested the Pistons on the road. For the Heat, that game was at Little Caesars Arena, 118-112, back on January 1st, New Year's Day. So this is the all-important decider on which one of these teams will take the season series. The Kasaya Center in Miami, I imagine, will be bustling on Sunday the 8th as they look to, you know, steal away this season series. The Pistons have a 62.1% chance to come out victorious in that game as well, although they will be maybe without Ron Holland II and Ausar Thompson, two of their best defenders. Ron Holland is battling an eye injury or some kind of eye soreness that is keeping him from playing. He is expected to return March 7th on Saturday, so later today, so we'll find that out. And then also, Ausar Thompson, obviously, who just sprained his ankle against the Spurs Thursday night. There's no telling if he will be back and healthy for this game or if, you know, the Pistons are going to have to find out something else. The Heat have their own problems. No Nikola Jovic, no Andrew Wiggins, no Norman Powell. Well, Norman Powell and Jovic are out for sure, along with Fontecchio. Drew Smith and Andrew Wiggins are both game time decisions with ankle and knee injuries, respectively. Pistons are 3-2 in their last five, and so are the Heat. So we'll find out soon which one of these teams will take that season series. But that is enough on the Pistons. We'll be back after the break to talk about their roommates in the Detroit Red Wings with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The
People. Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. It's time for us to lay down the ice inside of Little Caesars Arena and talk about that team that wears red and white, the Detroit Red Wings. Things have been quite different for them over the last couple weeks based on how they looked at the beginning of the year. But what I do know is that they're still sitting comfortably in a playoff spot when it comes to the Eastern Conference. Looking at the entire league overall, the Red Wings are seventh in the league at 62 games played at 35-20-7 for 77 points. Where does that land them in the conference? Well, they are fourth in the entire Eastern Conference. The Hurricanes sit atop 39-16-6 for 84 points. The Lightning 38-18-4 for 80 points. Tied right there at 80 points with them are the Buffalo Sabres at 37-19-6. And then right behind all of them are the Red Wings at 35-20-7 for their 77 points. Where does that land them in the Atlantic Division? Third behind the Lightning and the Sabres, who are both tied at top of the division with 80 points. The Canadiens come in behind the Red Wings, 33-18-9 for 75 points. With 73 points are the Boston Bruins, who are 34-22-5. The Senators are 30-22-9 for 69 points. Nice. Am I right? Toronto Raptors, Maple Leafs, are 27-25-11 for 65 points. And with 63 points are the Florida Panthers at 30-29-3. The leaders for your Red Wings, Alex DeBrincat, 32 goals, 11 of them on the power play on 215 total shots. He also leads the team in points with 45 assists on the, talking about someone else. Ignore me. Lucas Raymond has 45 assists to lead the team. 13 is his plus minus, and he's got 18 power play assists. He also leads the team in points with 65, so he has 20 goals to go with those 45 assists. On the goaltending side of things, it's none other than, yes, you guessed it, John Gibson. Only giving up 2.58 goals per game. He has a save percentage of .906. He has seen 1,016 shots. He saved 920 of them, meaning he's only given up 96 goals so far this season. He has 23 wins on the year as well. The team as a whole scores 2.95 goals per game, which is just 0.02 less than what they score or than what they give up, which is 2.97, tied for 12th in the league. Their power play is also 12th in the league at 22.5%. Penalty kill sitting strong at 78.5% and 18th in the league. Turnover over the past years has been phenomenal. Going back to 2021, Red Wings won 32 games, lost 40, had 10 overtime losses for 74 points. They got a little bit better the next year. 35 wins, 37 losses, 10 overtime losses for 80 points. Then more progression. 41 wins, 32 losses, 9 overtime losses, and 91 points in 23-24. That was the season they almost made the playoffs. Last year, a little bit of a digression at 39 wins, 35 losses, 8 overtime losses for 86 points. But they're looking to surpass basically all of these seasons, as they still have about 20 games or so left in their season with 35 wins, 20 losses, 7 overtime losses, 77 points. So they've already passed 21-22, and they're right on the brink of 22-23 and 24-25. The one that they're really eyeing, though, is that 23-24 season where they were 41-32-9 for 91 points. They're going to look to surpass that and get themselves feeling great about where they will be headed over the next couple of seasons. But looking at what has happened for them over the last couple of days, it's been quite the trip for them. They did lose a couple of games in this time as well. Last time we talked to you, they were preparing to play the Carolina Hurricanes on the road. They lost that game 5-2. Cam Talbot ended up picking up the loss in that game, and he, the top performer was Kane. But then in Nashville, Wings pick up a huge victory, 4-2 on the road. Talbot once again picks up a win this time and was playing goalie. And then March 4th, they lose a game to Vegas in overtime, 4-3. Talbot was the goalie in this one as well. Starting to think that Gibson may be hurt. That's three games in a row that Talbot has played. Maybe they're just giving Gibson a little bit of a break. Not 100% sure, but it's not what you want to see if you're a Red Wings fan. Three straight games with Cam Talbot, who has not been on the level of John Gibson. I'm not saying Cam Talbot is a bad goalie, but what I'm saying is John Gibson has played at a phenomenal level, a level that has surpassed Cam Talbot and has been far better than Cam Talbot. So what you want to do is play the best goalie you can possibly play. And right now, that's John Gibson. So unless he's hurt, I would love to see Gibson on the ice just a little bit more. We'll find out over the next couple of days if he's actually hurt or not. Last night, you guys were able to know what happened between the Florida Panthers and the Red Wings. Their next game will be Sunday, tomorrow. They're on the road against New Jersey. The Devils are 31-29-2, 15-13-2. And they are sitting near the bottom of the Metropolitan Division. The Devils did win the first game in this series between the Red Wings 4-3. That was out in New Jersey as well. That was back on November 24th. So the Red Wings will look to get things done on the comeback. But, you know, it's no way to tell, especially with the Devils feeling good about themselves in the last couple of games. They're 3-2, but those three wins are in a row. They beat the Blues, the Panthers, and the Maple Leafs by scores of 3-1, 5-1, and 4-3 in a shootout, respectively. Meanwhile, our Red Wings, as we know, are 2-3 in their last five. Wins over Ottawa in overtime in Nashville, 2-1 and 4-2, respectively. And then, obviously, losses to the Mammoth, 4-1, Carolina, 5-2, and Vegas, 4-3. But the Wings score more goals, give up less goals, and their stats are a little bit better. So there is a chance for the Wings to get back into that winning way that they're looking for, especially with this game being on ESPN. And faceoff will be at 7 p.m. So if you want a viewing pleasure for that, it is yours for the taking. The Wings will play the Panthers again. This one will be on Tuesday. This time they will be out on the road at Amerant Bank Arena. The Red Wings won the first game back on October 15th, 4-1. Obviously, you guys know if they won the second game or not. This one will be the third. I do feel great about their chances in this one, as the Panthers are currently riding a four-game losing streak, maybe even five, depending on what happened in that Friday night game. They lost to Buffalo 3-2. They lost to New York 5-4. They lost to New Jersey 5-1. New York Islanders, that is. And they lost to Columbus 4-2. They do have one lone victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs 5-1 in their last five. I like the chances for the Red Wings to pick up another victory here and maybe start a little bit of a, what do we call that? A winning streak. We would love to see the Red Wings go back on a winning streak. It's been quite some time since they were able to do that. And then next Thursday, they will take on Tampa Bay to wrap things up in the week that stands between when we will talk again. That will be 7 p.m. as well. This series currently is split 1-1. Red Wings won way back in overtime on October 17th, 2-1. And then the Lightning came back and smacked the Wings around 6-3 on November 28th to tie this series up and kind of regain some control. Tampa Bay gives up not as many goals, 2.67 per game, and they score about 3.45 goals per game, which is insane when you think about the NHL. Tampa Bay is at the top of the Atlantic Division, so this is a huge game and series for the Red Wings if they want to continue to pace toward making a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference and having a spot that feels confident to them in the Atlantic Division. So hoping that they're able to win one, as Lightning are also 4-1 in their last five. Wins over Winnipeg, or excuse me, a win over Toronto, 4-2. They lost to Carolina, Buffalo, Minnesota, and Winnipeg. That's what we have for the Red Wings this week. We'll be back next week to talk about them. We're about to get into our picks here on the Mid Madness 95.3. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3. The Ticket. It's time for us to get into my favorite part of the show. It's time for the picks. Now, last week was quite the time for me. I didn't do all that well. In fact, I had a horrible week. Well, no, excuse me. That was 2 weeks ago that I had a horrible week. I went 0-6 2 weeks ago. Y'all remember, I was in here going bad, going insane, because I couldn't believe that I did that bad. Well, let me tell you, your boy bounced back with the week of a lifetime. Well, kind of. But it was one that I needed. I went 5-1 last week. What does that mean? Well, it means Iowa State did me bold and lost their game against Texas Tech to keep me from going 6-0 on the week. But that has me in much better shape. Duke takes down Virginia. Arizona takes down Kansas. Florida took down Arkansas. Hurricanes over the Red Wings. And Arizona takes down Iowa State. Iowa State goes 0-2 in what were big games in the Big 12. That's going to factor into their Big 12 seeding and their playoff seeding, NCAA March Madness tournament seeding moving forward. But that does bump me up to 8-10 after a 5-1 week last week. Going to try and get a little bit closer to that if I can do better and maybe even surpass and get back into over 500 land this week. We got six more games loaded up. We have a rivalry week going in college basketball, so we'll have a couple of ranked matchups there. We have some big time NBA games going on this week, and we even have a UFC fight that we want to get into. Don't forget that you can play along with the picks every single week and see if you know ball better than I do. I do want to remind you, Jacob could not and probably will never be better than me at picks. We went 2-0-1, and he technically went 0-2-1 because we tied one time and I beat him twice because I know ball. The question is, do you know ball as well as I know ball? Find out by using the chat feature in the 95.3 Ticket app. It's going to give you an opportunity to submit those picks after you have listened to me talk through these picks, give my deliberation and my research, and then pick my squads. And then guess what? You have an opportunity to do the same thing. Do your own research, do your own deliberation, have your own thoughts and conversation before submitting your picks to the chat feature on the 95.3 Ticket app. Maybe you'll win something special if you're able to do it better than me, but only time will tell. Don't forget to play along and see if you know ball better than I do. But now that we're getting into it, let's get into a fresh week. We're starting with a big-time game down in the ACC. 17th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels, 24-6, 12-5 in the ACC. You know where they're going because it's rivalry week. They're going to Durham, North Carolina, and Cameron Indoor Stadium to face the Cameron Crazies, Cameron Boozer, and Duke. Duke, the number one team in the country. Duke Blue Devils are 28-2, 16-1 in the ACC. This game will be later today on ESPN at 6:30 p.m. UNC has a 7.4% chance to win. Duke, a 92.6. And I think this game got a little bit easier, and I'll explain in just a moment, but North Carolina is coming in on a four-game win streak. Their last loss was to North Carolina State back on February 17th, 82-58. But they beat Syracuse 77-64, Louisville 77-74, Virginia Tech 89-82, and Clemson 67-63. Meanwhile, Duke, on the other hand, much more impressive wins, and they've been doing it crazily margins. They beat Syracuse 101-64. They beat Notre Dame 156. They beat Virginia 77-51. North Carolina State 93-64. And they took down Michigan 68-63. So they're cruising, looking great, and they've only lost two games this year. One of them was to North Carolina back in Chapel Hill. But I don't think that's going to happen again. I think Duke wins this game with no question, especially since Caleb Wilson broke his thumb in practice during the week and needed season-ending surgery, so he will not play in this game. That makes it kind of simple to take Duke, and that's what I'm going to do. Moving us into the SEC. Number 24, Vanderbilt Commodores, 23-7, 10-7 in the SEC. All of their losses are in the SEC. That means the SEC is, one, a tough team or a tough conference to play in, and two, Vanderbilt's pretty solid because they beat all of their non-conference opponents. Tennessee, on the other hand, the Volunteers are 11-6 in the SEC, 21-9 on the season. This game will be later today on ESPN. 68.3% chance for Tennessee, 31.7% for Vanderbilt. This would be at the Food City Center in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tennessee is 3-2 in their last five. They have losses to Alabama and Mizzou, but wins over, yes, Vanderbilt by four on the road, Oklahoma and South Carolina. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt, they're 2-3. They have an overtime win over Mississippi or Ole Miss, a victory over Georgia, but then losses to Mizzou, Kentucky, and then Tennessee, that four-point loss that we talked about. The question is, will Tennessee be able to beat a team twice in the same season? Will Tennessee be able to complete the sweep against their in-state rivals? It's nothing but questions in the air about this right now, but I'm going to lean on the side of caution. And when you're looking at the SEC standings, Tennessee sits a game above Vanderbilt. We are looking at the fact that they beat Vanderbilt on the road. I got to go with Tennessee, who are 4.5-point favorites, -147.5 sitting on the over under. I'm going to take the Volunteers to win this game and to sweep their in-state rival Commodores. That gets us into our last college basketball game of the week, and probably the one that all of us are looking forward to the most. It's going to wrap up our rivalry week, 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, tomorrow, CBS, March 8th. Then the 8th-ranked Michigan State Spartans will take on the number 3 Michigan Wolverines. Spartans are 25-5, 15-4 in the Big Ten. Wolverines 28-2, 18-1 in the Big Ten. 17.3% chance for the Spartans, 82.7% chance for the Wolverines. We know who both of these teams are led by. We know that State is currently on a 5-game win streak. UCLA, Ohio State, Purdue, Indiana, Rutgers, no questions there. They win all those games, some of them closer than they would like, but taking down Purdue on the road, that's a significant victory. But when you look at what Michigan has on the other side, Illinois on the road by 14, Purdue on the road by 11, take down Minnesota, take down Iowa on the road, who's actually playing a lot better than some people thought they would, and then the one neutral site loss to Duke by 5. These are going to be as close as two games can be, even though Michigan doesn't need to win this game, even though Michigan can afford to sit some guys, they won't. It's senior night. They want to win senior night for those seniors. And who doesn't want to sweep Michigan State in a season? Yes, I'm sounding a little bit like a homer, and that's okay, because y'all should know by now there's not too many times that I pick anyone over Michigan, let alone am I going to pick Michigan State over Michigan in a basketball game. Yeah, you got me bent. I'm going to take Michigan to take care of business and the Wolverines to grab a senior night victory over the Spartans, technically senior day because the game's going to be at 4:30. But nonetheless, the victory I have going to the team that wears maize and blue. Keeping it on the hardwood, just bumping up a level to the professional ranks. The Boston Celtics are 41-21, 21-11 on the road. Cleveland Cavaliers are 39-24. They're also 21-11. This time, it's the home team, right? 1 p.m. tomorrow on ABC. 43% chance for Boston, 57% chance for the Cavs. And although that's what that says, I'm not buying it. Boston, for one, is 2-0 this year against the Cavs, 125, 105, 117, 115. The first game was back on October 29th in Boston. This game, the second game was November 30th, almost a month later in Cleveland. They won both of those, I think. Boston has a chance to win a third. Jordan Walsh is a game-time decision for them, but looking at the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell, Max Struss, Jared Allen are all out or game-time decisions for this. The Cavs are 3-2 in their last 5. They have a loss to the Pistons in Milwaukee, but they have wins over Brooklyn, Detroit, and New York, the Knicks, that is, as well. And then you have the Celtics, who are 3-2. They have a loss to Charlotte, who has been surging recently, and the Denver Nuggets, but they have wins over Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn. I am going to run with the team that has dominated this series, but also maybe getting their star player and Jason Tatum back. So, yes, I'm going to go with the Celtics to win a game and sweep this series against the Cavs. And no, this has nothing to do with me being a Pistons fan, but it does have everything to do with me hoping that the Celtics go out and maybe knock the Cavs down a rung and make them remember who they are. But I'm going to take the Celtics to win that game and, of course, put themselves in a position to continue moving up and putting pressure on the Pistons as that one seed in the East. Heading over to the West, this game will be on Sunday. It will be on NBC and Peacock, 8 p.m. tomorrow. The Houston Rockets traveling to take on the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs lead this series 2-1 at the moment, a 121-110 victory on November 7th. And then they lost on January 20th, 111-106. But then they bounced back January 28th, when 111-99. They're going to look to complete the series and win it 3-1 in this most recent game. It's going to be on Sunday. 60.1% chance for the Spurs, 39.9% chance for Houston. Houston's led by Kevin Durant and Alperen Sengun. Meanwhile, Victor Wembanyama and Stephon Castle have done amazing things for the Spurs. The Rockets, Jabari Smith Jr., Amen Thompson, Steven Adams. Steven Adams is out for the season, but Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Fred VanVleet, either out or game time decisions. Harrison Barnes out for the Spurs. Mason Plumlee also out. So these are things to keep in mind. The Spurs are 4-1 in their last 5. They have one loss to the New York Knicks. They beat the Pistons, the 76ers, the Nets, and the Raptors. Meanwhile, the Rockets are 3-2 in their last five, an overtime loss to Golden State, a loss to the Heat, but then they also beat Washington, Orlando, and Sacramento. I'm going to go with, history and the guy that's an alien. Yeah, I'm going to take the Spurs to win this series 3-1 and wrap things up and help continue to push their way up and put some pressure on the Thunder out west. It's going to get us into our last pick of the week, Max Holloway. We'll take on Oliveira in a lightweight main event at T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, Nevada. 5'11 for Holloway, 5'10 for Oliveira, 155, 156 respectively, 34 and 36 respectively. 69-inch reach for Holloway, 74 for Oliveira. They're both orthodox fighters. The question is, who's going to win? Who's going to be better? I got to pick Oliveira because that's just how I feel about him. You can find this out on Paramount Plus, 9 p.m. What does that give me for the week? It gives me Duke, Tennessee, Michigan, Celtics, Spurs, and Oliveira. That's going to get us into an amazing weekend of sports. I hope that you enjoy it the same way I will. And we'll be back with more sports here inside of the state of Michigan with Mid-Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.